Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is one of my fondest memories in this whole entertainment slash education slash life-changing experience that I've gone through for 36 years. This individual has a great story. I'm really excited to have you hear his story. With us today is Isaac Martinez, who is the director of Single Family Mentor for Lifestyles Unlimited, but has much more of a great story than that to share. Isaac, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. How are you doing today?
Very good, sir. You epitomize for me why I started Lifestyles Unlimited. I've been all the way back from the very first time I ever met you, all the way through to everything you've done with and for Lifestyles Unlimited. You just are the picture. If you go open up the book, what would a Lifestyles member be like? And you look in the dictionary, there would be Isaac right there. So we got a lot to talk about today, Isaac, but I'm going to start you off with this. One of the reasons I started Lifestyles Unlimited is because I realized people like myself were living lives of quiet desperation. I worked 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. I had no life. I couldn't see my family. I couldn't have a relationship. There was no time. There's nothing. I couldn't live life. I couldn't do what everybody else did because I worked 6 days a week. And not only that, I worked 12 hours a day. So I had no life. I saved my money thinking I would do that the rest of my life and retire early because I saved a lot of money. And then the stock market crash of 87 would happen, and I lost a lot of money, and it really deflated my thought process that I could get out of that. But I didn't give up because I was at that point even more under the spell of, I got to get out of this. It just is driving me crazy. So it happened. I got out. I was able to retire by buying single family houses, just like you did. Single family houses got us both there. It was something that everybody else said couldn't happen. There was 8,000 reasons why it didn't work. Everybody's brother and mother and cousin and son and the CPA and attorney knew it didn't work, wouldn't work, couldn't work. Yep. And yet I had no problem with it, and I retired 2.5 years after I started with really no mentor in place. I just hacked through it, learned my way through it type of deal. So now I'm going around the country sharing the story, and I'm out in Florida, and I meet you, and you were so humble, and you were there with your wife, and I think your first baby, and it was like your story was so compelling that it just blew me away. So we're going to start before that. Let's talk about why you showed up at that meeting in Florida 16 years ago. No, I'm sorry, 10 years ago, right? 2016, yeah, that'd be 10 years ago. Yeah. 10 years ago, why did you show up to that meeting? What was going on in your life that was creating the life of quiet desperation to send you out into the nighttime to come to a meeting with somebody you've never heard of?
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate everything you've done. I'm very grateful for you and your consistent desire to help people. And because of you and your selflessness, I'm able to sit here and say thank you. So it started even before a decade ago. My wife and I had gotten married. She's working a 9-to-5, which she really didn't like. I didn't mind my 9-to-5, but we were both working. We had a son at that time. We had gotten married. So I have to take my son to school in the morning, and I have to pick him up because by the time my wife leaves and comes back from work, she wouldn't be able to actually pick him up. So I would drop him off, go to work. My wife will go to work. We both 45-minute drive. Mine was about 35, 40 minutes at the time in Miami, Florida, which traffic was bad back in the day. Now it's unbearable. But back in the day, it was pretty bad. And going back, I would have to leave work at exactly 5 just to make it on time to pick up my son before I got that call saying, hey, sir, are you going to come pick up your child? And I'm like, yes, yes, I'm on my way, stuck in traffic. So I would have to leave at exactly 5, head from downtown, pick him up. We come home, have breakfast, have dinner, shower, do school work. And by the time the night was ready to actually enjoy him, it was bedtime because he had to wake up early. So we got minimal time with him. And then for her and I, just to be able to spend a little time together before the next day was even harder trying to get set up. So this day-to-day kind of work, and then the weekends were just setting yourself up for the weekend. That's if you didn't have to like make up for the previous weekend, right? But you use that time to set yourself up so that the week isn't unbearable. And I was 33, she was 31, and we said, this is not the life. I'm not living. I'm not thriving. I'm just surviving. And I said, I don't want to survive, right? That's not what we want to do. So we started looking for different events and different things have passive income. And in Miami, you don't really have to go very far to find any multi-level marketing schemes. Like they're pretty much one every weekend, right? It's a hype event, one person that makes millions of dollars, thousands of people jumping for joy. And then at the end, they tell you buy all this product for $800 and bring your friends. And over every hype event, I did the numbers and none of them made sense. None of that broke down to actually said, how do I actually get to retire from this? And one person and thousands of people getting excited for that one person. I said, this is not going to be it. And then if you have time, I actually have one story that I went to one marketing level scheme event that my friend invited me to. And we did the whole event, Dell. And then at the end, we went to this beautiful mansion on the water. The products everywhere, right? There's products all over the house. And somehow, some way, I got to sit at a coffee table late at night with some of the executives from this company. Just kind of organically happened. And their questioning really came around, you know, so why aren't you going to join? What are you going to do? Why aren't you joining? This is the way that you're going to make money. And one of the products was just right next to me. So I grabbed it. I put it on the table, Dale. And I looked at the executive. I said, okay, this product sells for $15.99. I would like for you to tell me, how much do you make off that $15.99? How much does the company make off the $15.99? How much do I make off of it? How much does every other person that I bring? Can you break down that $16 into how much does everybody make and how is this actually sustainable for long term? And the guy just in front of there was probably, you know, 8-9 people around there. He just looked at me and I'm being straightforward, though. He looked at me and goes, well, you know, that's a great question. Why don't you just bring more friends? Yeah, that was his response. I walked out of there and I go, that doesn't make sense.
I did the exact same math when I was there. And not specifically the same guy, but I mean, we've all hit some one or two of these meetings to see what it's all about. But I asked the same question. Here's the additional questions I ask. Are you ready? Number one, why can't I go down to Walmart and buy this for half of the price? Why don't I just go to Walmart, buy it for half the price, turn around, sell it to my friend for $2 more and be done with it, right? They never could answer that one. Of course, they said their product was better, but when you look it up, you know, with the better housekeeping, whatever place, it wasn't any better. Actually, many times multi-level stuff is not as good, right?
Yeah.
And then boom, life hits and you're trying to go to work every day. You're trying to pay your bills. You're trying to get to your school and get your kid. And you forgot that the original intention was to drain the swamp and have a wonderful life. So Isaac, I'm going to bring you back here and welcome back. And I'm going to read something to you and I want to hear what your thoughts are about this specific statement and see what it means to you hearing this. Because this I read about 40 years ago when I was frustrated and it meant everything to me. It said, to live a life of quiet desperation is to exist in a state where one's outward life appears stable or even successful. But inwardly, there's a profound sense of emptiness, unfulfillment, and resignation. This concept describes a silent internal struggle where individuals feel trapped by societal expectations and routines, but lack personal meaning. What does a statement like that mean to you and what your life has meant since you changed that?
You know, that statement is really profound, and I mean that because when you're young and I don't want to say immature, but you maybe lack wisdom, that statement maybe doesn't make sense to you. But if you get to a certain point that you do something over and over and over again, and you're expecting different results, and the same thing happens, and you're not actually enjoying life, you're just surviving life. At some point, you say, "What did I go wrong? What did I do that wasn't the right thing?" And you start trying to find what works. And I think that happens for some people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. I'm mentoring people that are starting in their 70s, Del. And they come to the realization because they've tried something enough to say, well, that doesn't work. Or they failed enough that says, well, that's not the way it is. There are many people that just succumb to it and say it is what it is. And life moves on and they don't have to do anything about it. I would like to say a good portion of people get to that point and saying, wait, what's going on? This is not how this works. I got a great education. Why do I have, $200,000 of student debt, right? Why do I have an incredible, and they just try their very best, but society says, well, you need a bigger house. You need a picket fence. You need more children. You need nicer cars. And you don't get out of that. You don't get to, as you said, drain the swamp. And there was nothing I had found myself and my wife searching made sense till we sat down at the 2-day. When we listened to you on the radio, we enjoyed the truth that you spoke, and it was different than other people that we had heard. But what really made sense that said, oh, there's hope here, right? And I think sometimes that's attached to, well, I've been doing this for so long. Well, is there another way out? And sometimes people lose hope. But when I went to the 2-day, that gave me not just a plan and a map, but it gave me hope. And that's what changed everything for me.
You know, I think back here, and I look at this divergence. There's another old saying by the same author. It says, I came to the fork in the road, and I took the less traveled. It's an interesting statement because the one path is to spend the rest of my life striving for something I'll never get to. I'll never get to be a billionaire, although every kid on the internet nowadays has a website that says, here's how to become a billionaire in a year or two. They're not becoming billionaires. I don't even think they're even becoming millionaires. They're just out there working and struggling and pushing the rock and hustling. And then in the old days, we did it with jobs. Today, they do it on the internet. They're just always grinding, pushing the rock, whereas the divergence of that path of life, and I'm going to have you pick this up and share with us how you did this, is to go out here and say, I need X number of dollars to live, and I'm going to create that amount of passive income, and then I will be free. Now, freedom allows for some amazing things to happen. Like, for instance, you can talk to us about the moment you let both jobs go and you were free and your mind was free to wander and go, wow, what can I do? What can I have? Where can I go? That you never even had the time to think about because you were going to get that kid. You were going to get to work, going to get out of work, that constant pushing the rock and the struggle. So talk to us about, okay, you joined and you started making that change mentally. How did you make that change to go, I'm going to pick a number and that number is going to be where I'm comfortable and happy?
So the exact number came about when we said, okay, who can we retire first? My wife hated her job. The people around her were wonderful. It was so mundane. She's a creative person and she was doing it just to put, plainly put food on the table, right? So I didn't mind mine. So we said, let's start with you. And we said, we broke it down just the way you taught us, right? How much do we need so that she doesn't have to? So we picked that number. And I think it was $2,500 a month for her, something around that range. And we put it on our wall. And we said, so how do we get there, right? Once we went to your 2-day, we're in the process of being mentored. Phil actually mentored us. And we said, well, this is what we need to do. And then what money does, it to me, it's the freedom is attached to options. You don't have options when you have to go to work and you have to do everything that needs to, and your time is tied to something specific. So once you're free of that, you're right. You get to sit down and think of, what are my options? What choices do I have? And you become empowered. Lifestyles, what it's done is empowered me. And I would like to say, not just me, but my parents and now my future children, to be able to choose. And when you're stuck in a job, that's not possible. You don't get many choices. Choices are made for you sometimes. And this has opened that up. So we picked $2,500 and we said, we need to start one by one. But how do we do that? Like Miami, the prices 10 years ago were unbearable. Now it's unfathomable.
Take a break right there. When we come back, we'll talk about what you did to overcome that challenge. So we'll be right back with Isaac Martinez and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Working hard but still falling behind? Learn how real estate investing can help you build income and move forward with purpose. Text RADIO to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we have Isaac Martinez here for the Tell Del Radio Show. And we were talking about how he came upon this problem, this challenge. And before we go there, I just want to ask you, have you ever just woke up and realized that your life was gone? I mean, it doesn't happen to you in one day. You don't just wake up and life is messed up. Life takes a while to get messed up. But somewhere along the way, you wake up and you realize that all those dreams, that pure potential that you had to become, to be something, to do something that would have been an incredible life, they're gone. And all you've done is fit into societal's roles. You went to school and you got a job and you followed your career and you got a mortgage and you got a car and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Rinse and repeat, send your kids to school, do the whole thing over again. When you wake up one day and you see that's happened, now many people over my 35 years of teaching wake up one day and go, I like everything you're saying, Del, but... And they run into this, I can't figure out how to get past this obstacle. So here we are. We set you up, Isaac. You were there in Miami, and you go, hey, everything, I like everything about what you're saying, except one thing. The real estate doesn't make sense. The numbers don't make sense here in Miami. Pick it up from there and tell us how you overcame that.
So when we started... It was, okay, I'm going to take what I learned in the 2 day, and I started actually trying to apply it to the Miami market, and I couldn't make the numbers work. Price point, insurance, well, not only that, but hurricane insurance, property taxes, and rent. The math wasn't mathing. My son likes to say that. Math is not mathing. So when I did that, I said, well, what's the other option? So I'm talking to my mentor, and he's like, well, you know, when I went to the 2 day, I actually did it in the office in Houston, and the numbers worked. So I started, my wife is the one that said, well, why don't we do it remotely? And I said, what? I go, what do you mean remotely? Not be close to my property? I go, that doesn't make sense. How do we, that's not, and she's like, yes. So we started talking to our mentor, and I was the one that was more skeptic, and I was the one that was more fearful. And it took me, I had to emotionally detach from what the math was telling me and then figure out, okay, so how do we practically do this? So working with my mentor, I was able to build a team and start analyzing properties, and we started investing remotely. So the first I think 11 properties, 10 properties were 10 properties were all in Texas. And I think 9 of them were while we were living here in Florida, and we did it remotely. We reviewed the deals. We got under contract. We did all the inspections, closed on it, remodeled it, rented. And there's still some properties, though, that I've actually never stepped foot in. And we've rented it and sold it. And we've been able just to move on. But that fear was real. And the first property that I bought, Dell, I'm not joking. I'm being, 100% truthful here. I didn't sleep for 2 days. I thought I was going to lose everything I owned. I got all the thoughts in my mind. I'm going to lose all the money my family have. We're going to go into debt. Now I'm going to be in a bigger hole. Oh, my gosh. So the fear was real. But the support was great. And I said, well, they could do it. Well, that means I could do it. So I took fear and I started, as I get a little older, I kind of see it a little different, Dell. I see fear now as a stop sign, not as a red light. I see it as something like, oh, that's fearful. I look to the left. I look to the right. Okay, I'm good. And I keep going. So we did this scared. But with the support, we were able to get the returns we're looking for. And the first one the numbers made sense. And when it hit the account, it was real. We said, okay, now this we could keep doing. And it really is like Pringles. You eat one, you're like, oh, yeah, no, I need more. Right? Most members fear on the first one, and halfway through the first one, they're wanting their second one. And that's just very typical. But for us, that fear was, for me, that was very real, and I had to do it scared with support.
Now, if I remember right, I think Phil had done some long-distance investing. Your mentor, had he not? Or am I just not remembering that correctly?
Yes, I think he lived in St. Louis and he had invested, I believe, in Dallas. So he has some experience there that he was able to help me out with.
Were you surprised how open people were about their money, their finances, their experiences when you came to Lifestyles?
Oh, my gosh. I went to Georgia. I went to a 2-day in Georgia, and it was just I hadn't bought my first deal. I said, I need to go. There was another 2-day right after the one that I did. I said, I'm going to go up there, just get more educated. There's some concepts that were still hard for me. I know I'm not the smartest person in the room, and I need to work a little bit harder than most people for things to really make sense and push through. So knowing that, I said, well, I need to get more educated. So I went there. I sat down after the 2-day. We had drinks with several members at the bar. And not only did they open up their portfolio and show me all their numbers, they said, look, I use this spreadsheet for this, and I use this form for this. Oh, what's your email? I'll email you that form. And it was coming from a place of Miami, which is you work hard, work hard, work hard. You keep it to yourself. You don't talk to anybody. Right. We invest in Texas, and we also invest in Oklahoma, the real world, the way that there's vendors that we need to start on our own and build teams on our own and do everything on our own. That's not how the real world works. People keep vendors to themselves. People keep contacts to themselves, keep numbers, because it's a you win or I win, right, concept. It's a lack mentality. But when you come here, people say, no, here's my numbers. Here's where I did it. This is who I used. This is how we did it. So how are you going to do it? Talk to this person. It made sense conceptually that could happen, but I didn't fully understand how beneficial and great it would be until I got here.
Yeah, it's amazing that, to me, that's always been the thing that's been amazed by is how open people really are, because they're not generally open. But because I pound that concept into everybody about the fact that there's enough for all of us, the abundance mentality as opposed to the lack mentality, it just seems to come across out there.
That mindset came to me when I went to the 2-day and you started showing your house and you're like, this is where I live and I do all this. And initially I'm like, wow, this guy's just bragging. And then you said one statement. And that one statement made sense to me. You said, I'm showing you everything not to impress you. I have no desire to impress you. I could impress upon you what you can do. So let me teach you then how to do it. And then when you broke it down how you did it, that was no longer bragging to me. That was showing me you're capable of doing it too. let me just show you what I've done so you can do it too. And I, that to me is a concept, that's a phrase that I've consistently used when I talk to members and they ask me about my numbers and I say, I bought it here and I did it this and my returns were this and I pulled X out of pocket and they're like, whoa. And I tell them, it's not to impress you. It's to press upon you that you can do it too. So I've taken that verbiage because that really impacted me a lot.
Now you're stepping into the mentoring part of all this, and it's kind of interesting that I was taught when I was young the best way to learn something is to teach it, because you have to really understand it. You have to dig deep, because people ask you questions. You go, you know, I never thought that part of it out. Let me figure those answers out. And so as soon as I started teaching it, I got much better at it. Did you find the same thing to be true?
I did. When I joined, we were in, I think we had bought already 13 deals, something like that. And I really didn't think I knew enough to teach. I knew enough to keep going and make less and less small mistakes, right? The education reduced the risk of greatly for me, but there's still small little mistakes I was making, and I just got to tweak them every single time. And when I started mentoring, I was able to realize, whoa, that's a great question. I didn't even think about that. And I would reach out to the other mentors and say, hey, guys, this member has this question. I don't know how to answer it. And usually I get about 3 or 4 responses and now have an answer for the member. Not only did the member learn, now I learned. And there's this synergy between all of us that we're as a community just wanting to help and make that person successful. It doesn't matter who has the answer or not. And we all come with similar experiences, but slightly different.
35 years, tens of thousands of transactions with people over 35 years. I've seen everything that somebody could come up with to do wrong, stupid, backwards. You know, I've seen it all. And it's almost like people have to trust me. And so I've come up with this belief system about life, is that no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care, which means this. I know so much, if I were just try to explain to you how much I know, we'd be wasting your time. What you need to know is that I care about you. The thing that I find most interesting, the most aha moment of everybody's life, is the day they email me. And instead of me blurping back some quick email, some AI-generated garbage, I pick up the phone and call them. And people go, no. This is Del Wamsley, the guy on the radio. You just called me? I go, yeah. You got a question? I got your answer. Let's look into it, because you're individual. You have your own issues. I need to talk to you. It's not a generic answer like people think it is. And that has been the difference for 35 years while we're still here. I mean, really, no consulting business lasts 35 years. It just doesn't happen. But it's because you can talk to me. Let's go to you. How do you see what I just said, and what have you run into that, you know, parallel that in any way, shape, and form? How do you like to help people, and how do they feel about it?
I love that after 35 years, that is still what you do. A lot of people would just be like, okay, I'm done with this, call my staff. It makes me so happy that consistently is your heart and your desire. And I've benefited from that. So from a place of gratitude that other people picked up the phone and called me, and other people decided I'm not just going to answer a random email. I've benefited from that. I've either made money or not lost money, because there's some deals that my mentor told me not to buy, and I didn't buy. So I didn't lose money because someone actually chose to actually care. So to me, that is huge. And the personal aspect of it, I get to mentor people one-on-one. They have my direct number. They have my email. And when it comes to deals, you're absolutely right. What your previous real estate experience looks like and what did you do, plus how much, you know, finances, what your risk level look like, what are your goals? Every one of them is slightly different. There's no exact plan. The roadmap is the same, but how to get there is slightly different depending on certain factors. And I get to do that with people and listen and ask questions. And There's a couple books I've read, and the questions you ask really just change so much. Although I've kind of learned how to ask specific questions to get the meat out and kind of really dig in deeper. And the more you go one-on-one with members and ask the specific questions, I'm able to say, hey, that's probably not the best route for you. You probably want to start here. Or, hey, you've already done this. Why won't you consider doing this? And sometimes it's tied to fear. Sometimes it's tied to bad advice. Sometimes it's tied to different things that have become truth to them, even though maybe that's not the 100% truth, but it's their truth because of their experience. And I said, well, why don't you consider this? And we break it down and have one of those, or someone that's really interested and want to just do something crazy, kind of like buy a property and, you know, build a business on it, plus a back in the back of that. I'm like, no, that's not the best route here. But it can make so much money. Yeah, and your risk is so high. So let's break it down why. And we kind of get to go deep into it. And I'll spend 10, 15 minutes, and some people get it. I've had to spend 2 hours on the phone for someone to finally say, yeah, okay, sounds good. Now I understand. Yeah, that's probably not the best route. And I say, okay. So explain to me why then. And sometimes I'll tell them to repeat it back to me just to make sure they actually understood it. And that's been beautiful because people did that for me. And until I got it and it was real to me, then I said, perfect, I'll move forward with that. So I get that opportunity to do it.
Let's talk about what buying your freedom back meant to you. What changes in your life have occurred because you did free your life back up?
First, it's my wife. I get to see my wife every day. She's been retired for 9 years now, 8 years, 9 years. And I get to see her every day, every morning. We homeschooled our children for a while. My boy's in high school now, like normal high school, and my daughter's homeschooled. So the time that I get to spend with them is invaluable. I only have 18, 19, 20 years if they decide to kind of move on from our home to be present with them the day-to-day. And the older I get, though, it's really not about the big wow moments with my children. It's really become about the small day-to-day moments and wins that I get to have with them. That's become more important to me. And the only way I get to do that is being present. And being present comes at a cost. And I've been able to pay that cost through lifestyles and through real estate to allow them to afford me the option to be here. Then to be able to be with my other family, my parents, my in-laws, not just vacation, and that's been enjoyable too, but be able to say sometimes like, man, I'm tired today. I don't feel well. I'm going to rest. And I'm not forced to have to not rest, if that makes sense. I could actually rest. And the options really isn't about the money. It's about the money that's a tool to do what I would like to do with it. And as well, you know, bless other people when time needs, right? And there's so many different aspects to it that I didn't know I would actually be able to do until I actually had it. I couldn't really think it through. It kind of goes to what you said at the beginning. You can't really think about it until you're there, and then it becomes real, and now your options open up.
Well, now it is real, and I appreciate everything you do for us, Isaac, including coming on today on the radio show, but more importantly, the give back that you've given back since you've been a mentor. The rest of you out there, remember this. It's not just some money. It's a lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.